It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Veteran reporter James Kamarasamy has been a BBC correspondent all over the world, Moscow, Warsaw, Paris, and Washington. Some of the stories he has covered include President Obama's 2008 election, Russian opposition to President Vladimir Putin, and much more. He was in Pittsburgh for the Public Radio Program Directors Conference and joined us in studio to discuss his career and world events. James Kamarasamy, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Very good to be here, Paul.
One of the things I think people are interested in, and certainly those who listen to NewsHour from the BBC on our station are interested in, is the vast amount of diversity that the BBC World Service covers. Explain how it works. It's a fascinating operation.
It is, and what you listen to is the English language service of the BBC World Service. One of the great advantages we have, one of the wonderful things as a host, is that we have more than 20 different language services that the BBC has as well. For example, the Arabic service, we have a Persian service, we have a Somali service, and all of them are headquartered in our building in London. So when big news breaks around the world, if we can't get there immediately, we have someone in our building from one of these countries who we can draw on their expertise, who are from that country, report on that country, travel there frequently. We do have people in many of these countries around the world. We're blessed with that. But we also, and you'll know this, Paul, as a host, to have someone on tap eye to eye like we are now is a great thing to help explain pretty complex issues often.
We were talking earlier about in this world that has a cacophony of loud voices and opinions being bandied about how important public radio and certainly shows like the BBC NewsHour are for people who simply want to get the information and formulate their own opinions. I'm curious about the effect that the BBC has with its reach in other countries. I mean, you go into some pretty volatile regions, presumably where people are only getting propaganda. So how important is the BBC to them?
I think it is important. And you certainly get the feedback. Russia, to take one example, that's probably the country I've traveled to more than others. I was there about a year or so ago in a provincial city, Yekaterinburg, and we were doing some reporting on the mayor there, who's an interesting character. He is nominally in opposition to Putin, but he's quite an interesting, complex character. And there've been various allegations against him. Now, the local press really hadn't been able to report on it. And when we met with some of the local journalists, they were incredibly grateful. They said, look, we can't get any of these stories out ourselves. You know, we're very happy that you can come and do reporting on that and then put it out on your on the radio, but also on the website. And there is a BBC Russian service. So actually, our stories were then translated into Russian so Russian speakers could read them. So you felt you were doing a bit of a civic duty to a certain extent in some countries where the press isn't as free as in our countries.
And what's interesting is, too, how it must shape your agenda, that no story, no matter what it is or where in the world it happens, is too local for the BBC.
No. Slight caveat, I suppose, is our listeners around the world need that story to connect with them. So, no story is too local. However, a local story has to have resonance with somebody listening in Pittsburgh. You know, a story has to have resonance with somebody listening in Ghana or in other African countries or in Asia. So it's a challenge as a journalist when you're working out your agenda for the day. How do you make that story relevant to people listening around the world? We're lucky on NewsHour as well. We have a very international team of producers. So any given day, I might go in a team of four or five people with me working from Iran, from Turkey, from places in Central Europe, from Africa. And as a host, that is really helpful because they all bring their perspectives on stories. And some stories which you think, actually, this is great, this is going to connect with people around the world. And you see three or four people from very different countries originally saying, No, that doesn't mean anything to us. That's not going to mean anything to listeners in our country. It's a reality check. It's great on the editorial front. And it makes you think differently and makes you think, well, hey, hold on a second. Something that we take for granted as being interesting perhaps really isn't very interesting. And then these guys come up with these stories, which only they scouring the Iranian media or the Kurdish language media will find. Without speaking those languages, you know, you're not in a position to do that. And hey, presto, you've got something a bit different. And listeners here in Pittsburgh get a whole different perspective on the world.
Which is very important because so many of the traditional broadcasters, commercial broadcasters in the United States, I mean, CBS, Edward R. Murrow and his boys years ago were covering the world and fanning out all over the globe. But a lot of that has been reined back in, you know, the way that the current media business models dictate. But the BBC is, as it always has, goes out everywhere and doesn't even consider that it shouldn't be covering. It's almost like that saying, maybe it was Churchill who said that an Englishman can go wherever he bloody well wants to in the world, that the BBC is going to go where they need to go to cover a story.
Yeah, and the BBC has financial constraints. It's our model for public broadcasting is different to yours. And, you know, we feel those constraints as much as anyone does. But I think there's still this sense that our whole raison d'etre is the international broadcasting. Certainly we get very strong support from on top. And I think there are ways of keeping that global reach in financially constrained times with more BBC reporters from these language services who are based in those countries. There's more synergies between programs, but I think everyone has in their mind that that is absolutely what the BBC is about, which is international reporting.
And I seem to have been reading that there's some debate in Great Britain about funding for the BBC, that why should there be government money set aside to keep this organization going when we have all these commercial broadcasters that are competing with them?
Yeah, and that's a debate that's been going for a long time. It became probably more pointed in the last couple of years because the World Service, which was under a different funding stream, came under the overall license fee. But there is still commitment. I mean, yeah, every media organization is changing. There is a pretty healthy debate about how the BBC is funded, but the opinion polls consistently show that the BBC is very popular amongst the British public, you know, 80%+ approval ratings for the BBC as an organization, even though, of course, everyone has arguments over certain stories, how they're covered. But generally speaking, it's seen as this great asset to Britain. And, you know, I'm incredibly proud to have worked for it for as long as I have. So I think that although there might be changes to the funding stream, there is certainly a commitment to the BBC, and you know, long may it last.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is James Kumarasamy, who is with us in studio. And one of the things I wanted to ask you before we wrap this up is your experience covering President Obama's 2008 election. Certainly an historic event here in the United States, which had implications all around the world. Talk about your experience covering that and the impressions that you have come away with now that we are almost at the end of President Obama's second and last term.
It's funny. I remember writing a dispatch on the day he was elected, the day after he was elected. I was in Grant Park on the night in 2008 and writing a dispatch. You know, it was just clearly a huge historical moment, not just for America, but for the world, and saying, well, there'll come a time in the near future when it's no big thing that America has an African-American president. And, you know, that's where we are, isn't it? He is judged on his policy choices, his policy decisions. As far as the campaign and covering it, it was an amazing experience. It was an absolutely amazing experience. As a journalist, the luxury of covering something for 2 years, really one story, essentially, with all its twists and turns and the drama and the fact that, yes, the rest of the world always looks at America and is fascinated and is, you know, it wants to know who's the president. But you really got a sense. I got a sense in all the feedback I was getting from listeners, from all the interactions from my colleagues in London, that this was something that the whole world really felt was their story, and you know wanted to see what was going to happen, wanted to see how it played out. Of course, there were other big things going on during that campaign. The whole financial crash was happening. You know, there were lots of balls to juggle in the air. But in terms of covering a political story with all the drama when the primary campaign and then the general election, very hard to beat that. I mean, I felt to me it was a moment to kind of put on pause my international reporting career and go back into a studio and just kind of reflect on what I've been doing, because it was quite some moment.
If you had an opportunity to cover one of the campaigns that's going on now, which one would you pick?
What, Republican or Democrat, or one of the particular?
Any of them, Republican, Democrat, or Socialist Bernie Sanders?
Yeah, independent, I think, isn't he?
Independent Bernie Sanders.
Well, it's fascinating. Well, you bring up Bernie Sanders. You know, we've had some pretty interesting things going on in the UK in the last couple of months. The Labour Party, our opposition party, has elected as its leader following its defeat in the general election someone who's very close to Bernie Sanders,
right?
Jeremy Corbyn, who talks often about, you know, watching the Sanders campaign here in the States, and you know that I think the two know each other, go back. He's very much a socialist, Jeremy Corbyn. I mean, socialist has been perhaps more mainstream a word in Britain than it has in American history. Although,
well, we had
since Tony Blair that changed, really.
Right. Well, we had Billy Bragg on this program, and he kind of defined what socialism means in Britain as opposed to the United States.
Yeah. Billy Bragg's a big Jeremy Corbyn. He's been playing at the Jeremy Corbyn rallies.
I know.
Yeah. But in answer to your question, you know, the obvious thing would be to say Donald Trump, wouldn't it? Because everyone is fascinated. Everyone here.
Is that obvious? Is that,
well, in terms of what the world is talking about American politics now, it is Donald Trump, and no one can quite get their head around this guy, who's everyone's known him for years as this showman, as this, you know, this TV performer, this, so, you know, very larger than life character. The idea that he might actually be a candidate for president is, you know, a viable candidate for president is something people can't get their heads around. But, you know, it's an interesting phenomenon. It says a lot about, you know, for what it's worth, I'm just over here for a short while, but I follow these things. It does seem to fit into a general rejection of mainstream politicians. That's what we've seen in Britain. We've seen that in places like Greece. We've seen that in Spain to a certain extent. And you look at who's rising to the top. It's not the kind of obvious career politicians. It's not just Donald Trump. It's Ben Carson. It's Carly Fiorina. These people who are making the waves at this stage, and we all know campaigns are very long here in America, it does point to the fact America is very much going the way much of the world is in it, public opinion, pushing back against the old established candidates.
And for you, as a correspondent covering an American campaign, which, as you said, I mean, Barack Obama, it was early in 2007 that he announced his candidacy.
I was there officially. Springfield, Illinois. Right. I was there in a rainy day, Springfield, Illinois. Yeah.
And then, so then you go from that, you know, it was over a year and a half, if not more, as opposed to the kind of campaigns that are run in England, which are, you know, a few weeks,
a couple weeks.
A month.
Yep.
So, you know, do you sit there saying to yourself, you know, how am I going to, does it become like one of those stories from The Boys on the Bus where I can't take one more second of this?
That's required reading for any correspondent, isn't it, covering a presidential campaign. What a great book. But it's, to a certain extent, although I have to admit, I lucked out, I think, doing 2008, because it was, when you're traveling around and you see another, you know, Holiday Inn and another Grip and Grin, and, you know, it's, yes, of course, there's a certain, is there really one more trip to go? But I loved it. I loved every minute of it, I could honestly say, because it was exciting. It was, you know, and it the eyes of the world were on it. And it was, you know, as a journalist, if you didn't enjoy covering that campaign, you really were in the wrong job.
James Kumarasamy, so what are we going to talk about for the next hour? Oh, wait, we're out of time. But it's been fun. I think we could go on and on. I'm sorry that you didn't get to a Pirates game while you were in Pittsburgh.
The weather was very English, dare I say.
We hope that you'll come back, get to a game, and certainly visit us here on Essential Pittsburgh. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been great fun too, Paul.
More Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESN.